Did you?
I love that.
You didn't do it on purpose?
No. I just like the colors.
The great.
Found this morning.
Neat.
I'm having fun. I have this huge, like, fishing tackle box filled with stones and really making stuff. And it's my hobby.
Neat. Pumpkin collects stones.
Hmm? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Radio Let's Grow, broadcast live from Toronto to the world, available on internet. I don't need to tell you the internet address, because if you can hear this, you already know the internet address. We have with us Marla Keyes.
Hi.
Serna Stambuk, Jeff Burke.
Hello.
And Arno. And this is the largest grouping of people that we have at this new series of Let's Grow.
That's exciting.
Great.
Okay.
Happy to be here.
The new series.
We're growing.
we're growing. And we're growing. And one of the things we talked about on last week's show was what we need to do to continue growing. And maybe we'll continue to do that on today's show. We'll continue to discuss what we need to do to continue growing. That's one of the big questions. This is the second show in a series called Big Questions.
Mm.
We had the first show in the series, Big Questions, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed laziness and the nature of evil. It was very exciting.
Great combination. Mm-hmm.
Actually, they were connected to each other.
Yes, I can see.
Today we're going to continue talking big questions. And I I have a list of big questions that's getting longer and longer all the time. So I don't know what to do with it. That's one of my big questions. So I think maybe what I'll do is I'll sort of read out a bunch of big questions and see what we do.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of them that Serna mentioned before we came on air was, let's grow new emotions. It's not exactly a big question, but it's a challenge. Let's grow new emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Let's grow not getting left behind. Let's grow pillow talk.
Mm.
Let's grow, I don't understand. Let's grow, why do I do this? Let's grow, if a tree falls in the forest, how does it feel? How does nature feel? What's nature's emotion?
Mm.
Let's grow something new. Let's grow, how should we do this? Let's grow, I'm afraid to tell you X, because you might say Y. Let's grow, I did that because you did this. Or, let's grow, I did that because of X. Let's grow, I don't want anything other than what I have. Let's grow our optimism. Let's grow how we repeat our failures. Let's grow how we know, how we understand. Let's grow how we procrastinate. Let's grow how we deprive ourselves. Let's grow how we suffer. Let's grow how we feel guilty. Let's grow how we stay together in relationships. Let's grow how we isolate. Let's grow how we blame. Let's grow how we take the easy way. Let's grow how we take the path of least resistance. Let's grow our anxiety. Let's grow our depression. And let's grow our unconsciousness.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That was one list.
You forgot one.
What's that?
Let's grow the list.
And now, here's a few more questions. Are things getting better or worse? Does history repeat itself?
Hmm.
Do you have to love yourself before you can love others? Should you turn the other cheek? Does understanding lead to forgiveness? Does love conquer all? Is it possible to deceive yourself? Is necessity the mother of invention? Are we creatures of habit? Is there a reason for everything? Is there a purpose for everything? Does everyone have a conscience? Do we know what we're doing, or do we know not what we're doing? Mm. How do you make intimacy? What do you say after you say, I don't know? Do people change? What is my nature? Does sex change everything? And should you respect authority or should you question authority?
Great.
Oh boy, where do we start?
We've already started. Where do we continue? I thought I brought up a lot of good conversation topics. Why is everybody being so quiet?
They're great questions. We just don't know what we're going to do with them yet.
Yeah. Well, so what do we want to do with them?
Pick a card. Pick any card.
They're great questions because they're kind of challenging us to do something with them. And to do something beyond the questions, too. To do something with what we're doing with our lives. So they're great.
So what should we do?
Can I see that list?
What did you...
You won't be able to read my writing.
I might be able to.
What
did you feel or think or about the list? What went through your head?
Oh, wow. Well, I the things I remember right now are let's grow our intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
That was. It seems like a lot of the topics were around relationship or issues that come up in relationships, any relationships, and so intimacy seems to cover a lot of those areas. It's just a broader headline for. For things like pillow talk, or what do we? I can't think. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How do we stay together? How do we isolate ourselves?
That's right. So all of those.
Does sex change everything?
Yep. When I say this, you do that, or because you did this, I do this. So these are all things that occur in any relationship, like our workplace.
Yeah.
Our boss, our colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah,
maintaining friendships.
Yeah,
and I've also I've been thinking also about this the history. Does history repeat itself? Mm. Question a little bit because I listened to the beginning of the last week's show, just the first 20 minutes, and then I lost my internet connection. But it's really an interesting. Idea and topic, and we say all the time history repeats itself, and we sort of say it unconsciously, and then I think we go about our lives kind of half unconsciously and just put a sticker on it that says history repeats itself.
Right. We say history, but what we really mean is we repeat ourselves
individually and collectively. I know talking to friends about relationships, and many times they say, something, they weren't happy with a particular relationship, and yet they seem to notice that there's a tendency to do the same pattern in follow-up relationships, as if somehow they're stuck in doing the same action that gets the results they don't want.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So does history repeat itself in relationships?
Yeah. Well, I think it's linked to that other question, which was, when I say this, you do this, and you do this, I say this. Like there's a groove, a pattern, a reaction that just... keeps repeating itself.
But
it's like
but I don't know if there is a pattern that keeps repeating itself, because what does that mean?
It means when we're not thinking or we're not conscious, perhaps we don't use other layers of our abilities, when we let ourselves get in a habit or a groove, we probably will allow those older things or not so productive things to repeat.
We automatically play the same game and I guess not think of a new game.
So think of a new game. So that's it. So there's some other activity.
Think of a new game.
Yeah, that's some other process to do the growing maybe, or the changing or the not repeating or doing something new requires some other part of ourselves.
Serna, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it requires some other part of ourselves. I just think that this saying, oh, we have patterns, or oh, I have issues, or those are my issues, or that it's somehow, it's, there's something not right with it. Like, I just, it's something crooked with saying that. Not crooked, but like, what are we saying when we're saying that? Why are we even saying that? What does that mean? And I think by saying that, we're somehow setting the stage that limits how much we can change to some extent. We're setting the stage and we're saying we're going to play on the stage and play by these rules. And in some way, it can limit how much we can change and grow or in what direction. That's what I think, but I kind of don't even know what I just said.
Actually, I have an association to that. I think another kind of competing pattern a lot of people have is that they want to have an identity somehow. And so, like, these are my issues. This is my problem. Like, ooh. And I have a client. I'm a massage therapist. And I noticed this annoying pattern that she has, this continually say, this is me. And when I did this, this was my way. And it wasn't always a good way or a useful way, but she was very, she seemed very stuck on her creating or perpetuating some part, some identity for the sake of its...
Identity.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or to be... have a, I don't know, identity. And that seemed really, it seems really important to her.
Is it important to you?
Yeah. Yeah, it probably is. And I think that's sometimes a challenge to step out of being the me that I know or that other people know and expect of me. Otherwise,
maybe,
it wouldn't be me. And
maybe
then where am I?
Maybe what's her name?
Maybe they don't expect it.
They don't expect.
I don't know. Maybe they do expect the kind of you, or maybe they don't know what they expect.
Maybe. Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think about identity?
I know I struggle with it. I have an impression of the sort of identity that I have, and I seem to project, and I'm looking at ways of filling that out, trying new things, sort of events or activities that I normally wouldn't do or haven't done, and saying, hey, I haven't done that, why did I do that? And trying to surprise myself.
It's interesting, you know, because this concept of identity and this question, does history repeat itself, and this thing that Cerna said about that the whole concept of patterns and that we repeat ourselves and that we have patterns or issues, and that these this whole way of understanding ourselves limits us. It's another way of saying identity limits us. You know, identity identity is the same root as the word identical and same. No, really, it's not it's not a joke.
No, I agree.
Identity is something that doesn't change. So do we have an identity? Do we have a pattern that doesn't change? It's all, it's in many ways the same question as, does history repeat itself personalized?
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's a great question. Do we have an identity? And, you know, one of the things I do sometimes in therapy is I ask people who are stuck, especially people who are stuck, to fantasize something. You know, like most... most commonly, people who are stuck in a job or a career, to have them fantasize, you know, their new job or their new career. It would be interesting to fantasize a new identity, and one that isn't constricting, you know, like an identity that doesn't make you be the same.
When you were speaking, Jeff, yes, I thought you can have an identity that is, I'm the one who tries new things. You know? There's Jeff. He's the guy that is always trying to, you know, challenge and do something different. That could be an identity too.
I like that. I will try to resemble that.
What are you saying?
Well, it's feeling like a work in progress.
What's feeling like a work in progress?
I'm feeling like a work in progress.
Oh, uh-huh.
So?
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think that's what I want to be. Instead of being a finished work, then there's nothing left to do with it. So I'm trying to... I want to be a work in progress, which means I'm progressing and growing. That's where my...
You know, in the late 60s and 70s, at the height of group therapy...
Yeah.
There was a concept that came out of people's experience that was called groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
Groupthink, one mm-hmm. word. And it was referring to the sort of tendency in groups to exercise peer pressure or group pressure to have a politically correct sort of group identity or group position, mm-hmm. sort of like the coercive totalitarian nature of groups. And, you know, it was definitely connected to this whole concept of a group identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could, like, go down the path of an individual's identity and breaking out of their identity and trying new things. I think also, though, as a radio show that has four people here, you mm-hmm. know, we actually have four people, it would be great for us to explore our identity, this show's identity. This show's identity, and see if we can help each other both explore our identity and expand our identity. And maybe if we think that it's a nice thing, or it would be fun, or it would be fun to try, it'd be kinky or whatever, you know, to have a group identity of a group who's always trying new things,
mm-hmm.
what that would be, what that would look like, how we would do that today to be a group or become a group that's becoming a new group all the time. People are laughing.
It's great.
Yeah, it's playful.
Oh, so people are laughing playful. Because they're happy?
Yeah.
It's a very energizing kind of view.
Like I imagined a game, like that we were going to play a game somehow and... in the middle of the room or something.
We are playing,
being thrown up and we
are
have to
playing a game.
think of an idea before the ball falls.
It's the game of life and the game of live radio.
Great.
We are playing a game.
Yeah.
There is
yeah.
a ball going up and
You're
down.
Right. There is.
The ball is us.
Right.
So what do we do?
Like I'm sort of on the same track with what you just said, because I was thinking before you said that of I was thinking of Adam, of your
by
dog.
By the way, all you listeners out there from from Baghdad to Bonavista, Adam is a dog. Adam is my dog. Adam is a lovely dog. So Serna, you're talking about Adam.
I was thinking about Adam and how he sort of like. You know, doesn't think about his identity, I bet you.
Exactly. Yes.
And goes out and sort of goes up to another person or another dog or another tree. And you know, and I was thinking of that's what, in a way, what we also do. We go out and we say hi to someone and we create something with them. And I think we maybe create whatever our identity in the process or our common. You know what I mean? Like
yeah,
I don't want
I do.
This to
I
be
do.
Like some theory or something. But this is what I was thinking. Let's do that. Let's do that here.
Has anybody here ever been depressed?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking that in some ways depression is somehow related to having too strong an identity. It's depression... Depression and identity seem to be related. Depression seems to be related to having an identity of depression. There's something about depression that seems to not change.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
No, that's because it's almost the antithesis. What Serna was saying is to let go of some premises or sense of what could happen or guess what might happen and just do something with someone like Adam. Greets a person or another animal.
So what's the antithesis?
Of depression.
Oh, that depression.
Of that heaviness that says, I am like this, and it's terrible.
And I can't do anything.
Or I can't go out for a walk because it won't make me feel any better because I'm depressed.
Right.
You know, and there's also this concept that people talk about sometimes of being in the moment.
Yes.
And I don't really understand exactly, and I'm not asking for anybody to explain it to me because I'm not interested in the explanation, but I'm just thinking that what's so good about being in the moment if at the moment you're depressed and feeling stuck in the moment? Like, you know, like sometimes, you know, if somebody's being in the moment and their moment is, you know, extreme suicidality, I'd rather get them out of the moment than help them be in the moment.
but I thought the idea of being in the moment meant that you're just in this one, not in a past one or in a future one, but there's a possibility to be in another moment in something else.
What if you're in a moment now that's terrible and yucky, and every moment subsequent feels terrible and yucky? I'd rather help people get out of the moment.
Yeah.
It's a long moment.
Hopefully you're looking for new moments or different moments or different behaviors with them.
I don't even think you're looking for new moments. I think you're looking for something else besides moment. I don't know. I sort of feel like I'm going fast, but I just love this stuff. But I don't know. You know, we're still looking at how to make a group identity here and how to break our group identity and how to blow up our group identity and reconstruct it. What?
I'm associating to something that I loved reading when I was a teenager, when I was really an awkward, kind of socially feeling weird teenager, and I still do feel that way a lot of times. I read one of D.H. Lawrence's novels, Women in Love. And there was a character in that book that was perpetually trying to plan everything and contrive everything, and she was not spontaneous, and she was very unhappy. And I think her name was Hermione, actually, in the book. And the author said of her, someone in the book said of her that, or she said her goal was, because she felt so heavy and depressed and planning all the time, that you've got to learn not to be, to be, before you can come into being. That there's something so heavy about making your identity to be before you can let go of that, before you can actually live. And when you said about Adam, he doesn't have... He's not thinking all the time about it.
He doesn't have a to-be.
He doesn't have a to-be. I am a dog.
We assume he doesn't have a to-be.
Right.
It seems like it.
That somehow he just wags his tail and greets the next moment for whatever it might bring. And
Yeah, these are like synonyms for identity and performance. You know, like the whole idea of I be, you know. You know, like patients always say to me, I say, why do you do that? I say, oh, it's my nature.
Right.
People literally say that to me.
It's my nature.
Yeah, it's my nature. It's just my nature. It's the way I am. It's the way I be. And, you know, being is in some ways how I be is how my identity is. And I like that difference between being and becoming. I don't know if you have to stop being? Did you say you have to stop being before you can start
this
becoming?
This was a literal quote from the book.
Yeah, you see, the thing is that we're both being and becoming all the time, you know?
Yeah.
Or we're being and we're not becoming. We're just becoming more of our being, you know? I guess that's sort of what depression is, you know? And when all you're becoming is more being.
I'm the same.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I feel like I'm sort of getting us off track or getting us on track or throwing so much stuff in the stew that it's becoming mushy.
Well, when do we feel the most, well, sometimes the word spontaneous comes to mind when we're thinking of just being in a creative moment. Like what kind of, maybe when you play music or...
Yeah.
But
we can also be stuck and be spontaneous. Like we can be spontaneous with being stuck. I think that's kind of where we're at now. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what we're doing. Do you know what I mean?
Well, give me an example from your own life.
She's saying an example. She's saying the example is what we're doing.
So this feels
like we're sort of like, so there was these big questions, and then we're talking about this, and now what do we do? And now Marla said this, and I don't know. I'm feeling stuck. I don't know what to say. So that's how I'm feeling right now. But we can. I don't have to wait to go play the bassoon to be spontaneous.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we can do it somehow here.
So you don't think it's happening here?
I think it is. But
what Serna was saying, I think, was that you can be stuck in mud, and you can also be stuck in air. Right? You can be stuck in a not movingness, mm-hmm. and you can be stuck also in a perpetual movingness that has no groundedness.
Well, you're flailing around.
That has no groundedness.
Groundedness.
And so what I was hearing Serna saying was that she was saying about what we're doing in here now, that it seems to her that we're stuck in our spontaneity and our sort of starting new songs off of every song that we hear, so that we're just a sort of like a cacophony of new songs being produced. But, you know, and I think there's some truth to that, and definitely there's, you know, there's definitely a way that individuals and groups can be stuck in their stuckness and also can be stuck in their lack of groundedness. But on the other hand, that could be the song we want to produce. We could make the song that is a series of constantly changing new songs, and you know, we could make the song of no ground. I just don't know what we want to do. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
But I still think that some of the things we're weaving are connected to each other. Something about trying new things versus a solid identity, and how does intimacy happen? By who we define ourselves as, or how much we want to have, we're open to change. There's mm-hmm. it feels like there's something that's tied together in it, not completely a new thing. Does there seem to be any?
No, like I think it's connected. Also, how we're talking about it and what we're doing about it is connected to. Is a sort of like a topic too. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
how we're doing this is also on our list of topics.
Right.
Of what we're doing.
Now we're feeling a little stuck.
I don't know if we're feeling stuck. We were just being quiet. We don't know what the quiet was yet. This is Radio Let's Grow. We're Jeff and Serna and Marla and Arno. I don't know. Were we stuck? Are we stuck?
I don't know. But I think maybe we should tell people that they can call us, if they can call us.
Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right. I was just assuming that if they're on the website.
Oh, they would have the phone number?
Right.
They would have the phone number. But actually, if they're on the website and they're listening, they would have their Windows Media Player in the front of their window, and it doesn't have our phone number. So this is Let's Grow, and you can reach us at 416-532-GROW. 416-532-4769. That's 416-532-GROW. In Toronto, Canada.
Good.
So we had a difference of opinion here. Marla said we were stuck. Serna said she didn't know if we were stuck. How are we doing? Are we stuck?
I don't know if that sort of being stuck in air, in my experience, is often the beginning of the song. You may not know how the song is going to begin, but that you're trying new ideas, and one of them will lead on to where you end. Well, not where you end up, where you will travel.
That's one way of starting a song.
Yes.
Or sort of free associating. Are you saying that were you saying that we are stuck in air now and that this
I don't feel it's stuck. I feel we're still at a beginning stage. This is one of the ways of doing a beginning, and it's not a stuck. It's like getting an orientation for the journey.
You know, it's funny that you use this word beginning. It's great. I was thinking, you know, saying to you, how do you know it's the beginning and not the middle? And and then I was thinking about this word that was fashionable about 5 years ago, flow. You know, Mikhail Csikmentalyi wrote this book on flow from the University of Chicago, and everybody was getting into flow, and everyone was buying, you know, flow supplements, and everyone was talking about being in the flow or not being in the flow or trying to get into the flow, and I guess they flowed out of that that fashion. But I think that what they meant by flow was something about in the middle, not at the beginning, and feeling like they were in the middle. So I was interested in your characterization of where we are is at the beginning. And, you know, I just thought, you know, that, you know, on a show dedicated to big questions, we could ask, are we at the beginning or at the middle?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But then that would just feed into Cerna's, you know, Cerna's question, are we bouncing around in air, and are we lacking some coherence, and do we want some coherence, and how do we like the song we're making? Do we want to change the song?
Well, one important thing, I think, is to keep talking.
Right. You know, I agree. Keeping talking is...
It's helpful.
It's definitely helpful as a conversation technique. You know, if you were going to write a self-help book called How to Have Conversations, basically you would just take one word. Talk.
Right, no matter what was said, just keep... Blah, 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 blah.
Well, just not no matter what was said, but talk. It's a hell of a way to have a conversation, to not talk. But, you know, I'm also thinking about the silence that we sometimes experience in here, that, you know, one of us says something or asks a question, and we're all quiet. Uh-huh. It's like funny, like we ask big questions and we all become quiet. And I'm wondering what that's about, like that we become quiet when faced with questions that we like don't know the answer to. It's so weird. It's like I think it's got a lot to do with grade 2 and grade 3, you know, where the teacher asked what were big questions, like what's 2 plus 1? That was a big question in those days. And you sat there in fear, you know, that you had to have the right answer, so you thought before you said anything, right? Yeah, I'm not going to answer that big question until I think about it, so that there'd be this big silence in the room. And I think that we're still doing that silence, that grade 2 silence.
It's that moment of thought.
Well, okay, so let's talk more.
What, did you find that we weren't talking enough?
No. So you asked, how do we know? Well, yes and no. I'm going back to what you said like 2 minutes ago. You said, are we...
No, that's what I said 2.5 minutes ago.
Okay.
2 plus 1.
What, are we at the beginning or are we in the middle? Why would we even ask that? And how would we know? I don't know. And who cares?
Well, the reason it came up is because Jeff was sort of defending what we were doing.
As a beginning. But I was thinking in half an hour we'll still be at the beginning.
Well, or that's whatever. Your opinion. I could also say in a half an hour we'll still be at the middle, or in a half an hour we still won't have started yet. Some people might characterize what we're doing as, when are they going to start the show? I mean, literally, I heard people complain about my show, like, when's he going to start the show?
Okay, let's start the show. Okay, enough of this.
The show has been started, by the way. For all of our listeners, Let's Grow has already begun. We don't know exactly where we're at, but we're sure that we've begun.
And if you missed the beginning, then you definitely got it wrong.
Well, see, that's it. Are we telling a story? Are we supposed, when you say beginning, middle, and end, I think of there's got to be a topic. It has to follow along a certain development and reach a climax of excitement when something happens or somebody dies or, you know, or something's resolved. And then there's this little denouement afterwards where everyone says nice things to each other and then ends or hates each other.
I guess the important question is, do you believe in multiple climaxing? Because I think we've had a few of them already. I mean that's one model. That's one model for a story. You know, I mean, so Marla, do you think that we're not telling a story now?
I think we are unconventionally telling the story of the four of us in a room having a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it has various ups and downs and parts someone might define as more meaningful or other people might define as a waste or who knows. But like I used to always worry and still do that when I talk, am I saying something meaningful or does someone really want to hear me? And I used to kind of put, because I was insecure, I would put down people who were just sort of talking about TV shows or about their clothes or something superficial. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, but you know what? They're having contact with each other. Even if there's not what I define as particularly meaningful content, mm-hmm. they're making contact. And something, I mean, there's something good about just contact.
So do you think that what we're producing here isn't meaningful content, but it's meaningful contact?
No, not necessarily. I'm just telling something about my story of how I've come to appreciate just any kind of human interaction, and without necessarily having to put a qualitative evaluation on it, mm-hmm. and that there's some value in us being here and putting ourselves around the world. Potentially, and just going, hi, we're out here. Where are you? Come on. There's something valuable about just that contact, even if, and it has its own content, and yes. That is, we're making contact.
Yeah. You know? And I've experienced sometimes an excessive attention to content can mm-hmm. limit contact. When I overthink mm. what I'm talking about, then it can be, you know, it turns into a speech or a lecture, mm-hmm. and that's not as contactful as mm. as a conversation.
Well,
go for it.
It is and it isn't. I mean, it's like sort of like judging it for something, like you have a certain role.
Let me point out what's been happening in here as far as I can tell. Marla started talking about herself and her individual story. And then Jeff gave a little mini lecture about the hazards of giving mini lectures. And Serna started arguing with Jeff about his mini lecture on the hazards of mini lecturing.
And in our notes.
And I think that what I'm still enjoying myself, and I think we are too, is I was enjoying how we were and still are sort of having this conversation where our individual voices were contributing to this, like, very multi-textured sort of weaving. Mm. And, you know, I was enjoying that, and I'm enjoying that. And, let's keep doing it. Let's keep growing.
All right. I'm all for that.
Not that anything that anybody was doing was wrong, but I'm sort of looking at how our song is going, and there seems to be a little unraveling of the woven texture there for a minute. Not that that's bad. It's nice to, you know, take apart things and analyze them and see how they're put together. I just sort of experienced that. and you know, mm-hmm. yeah.
What part of it felt unraveling for you, or
what it felt like to me was that we started our song became me versus you. Mm-hmm. Instead of me plus you plus mm-hmm. him plus her,
mm-hmm.
it just mm-hmm. felt like that. That's what the song sort of was sounding like. It was like, yeah. Oh yeah, it was just sounding like that.
Mm. Yeah, I guess, and it's something that we are comfortable doing in general. Like it's one of the modes of interaction that we. That we do a lot.
I think. It's the dominant one.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's the dominant one. Yeah.
Oh, you do that. Oh, I do this. Oh, I do this. Oh, she does that. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't agree with that. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a problem thing? Do you think?
No, it's just a dominant way of communicating. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? It's a problem thing?
I'm just getting the sense that there's something. Negative. I don't know. Maybe I'm not picking it up right.
Well, it was definitely. I just experienced it as a different song. I don't want to get into negative, but it's sort mm-hmm. of like if we're going to try to become a group that is becoming a group that is becoming a mm-hmm. new group. Mm-hmm. I think in some ways maybe. This me versus you thing is somehow a negative, if you have to characterize it at that. It's sort of, maybe it is something as a negative, or maybe that's just my shallow, you know, binary thinking.
Hmm.
What do you think of that?
I'm computing right now.
You're computing.
I feel a little like a computer, like with a lot of information trying to sort it. But I think I do have a response. A lot of communicate, like how do people get together and someone says, well, this happened, and I go, well, oh, it happened to me too, or mm-hmm. it's a mixture of theoretical and personal.
Well, let's not get theoretical. Let's ask, how are we communicating, and how do we want to communicate instead of defending what people do?
Yeah.
We don't have to defend what we're doing, right?
No.
Yeah. Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Like, I'd really like to have a good radio show.
when would you like to have that?
An idea when you want to start?
Well, right now. I'd like to have a good radio show. I'd like to have a good group, a good connection with everyone. Uh-huh. My head is sort of turned more like this than like that because of the way I'm sitting.
We don't care how your head is turned for the...
Like,
unless you think it's critical for our group.
Yeah.
And the radio world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does anybody out there mind how Cerna's head is turned? call 416-532-4769 and weigh in.
I'm also like a little bit nervous. And I'm wondering, what's Jeff thinking? He hasn't said anything in a while. What's he thinking? But I'm also wondering, what are we doing? And
let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Why don't you ask Jeff a big question? Like, I know that Jeff, what are you thinking, is a pretty big question. But why don't you ask him a bigger question?
Jeff, what do you want to do?
Yeah, there you go. There's a bigger question.
Try to talk without thinking too hard.
Well, keep going then.
Okay.
Don't give yourself any time to think.
Just want to have a conversation.
I love this. It's like there's these four people in this room saying, I just want to have a conversation. And they're talking endlessly. And like, I imagine that there's got to be some listeners out there that are saying, yeah, when are you guys going to start having your conversation? So, Jeff, were you saying something?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, good.
I guess I've I get leery of the lecture mode, which is one of my automatic ones. So
don't do that. Let's do something else.
Do something else.
Yeah.
If I tell a story about lecturing, is that a lecture?
Well,
it's personal, but not personal.
You can just start doing something.
Well, why don't we tell a story? How about let's try telling a story?
Okay.
Let's tell a story.
Okay, different.
Let's tell a story about Jeff's leeriness of lecturing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's tell a story. I'll start. Jeff has been wondering about
the end.
Jeff has been wondering about what to say next.
Let's keep telling the story. Marla, Jeff, Serna, Arno are now telling the story of Jeff being leery of his tendency to lecture. So, yeah, let's keep going.
And Jeff is thinking in his, bringing up files in his RAM like a computer, of all the times that he had conversations that were too lecture-ish.
And we're wondering. By the way, let's do this. Let's each sort of like not finish our sentence. Sort of let the next person, you know, finish the sentence and continue it. Okay. So yeah. And we're all wondering what.
And sometimes he wonders whether knowing too much is the problem, or thinking one knows too much. Is it?
And then we were wondering
when the dinner was going to arrive,
and how that could help Jeff
with
the problem that he thinks he has.
So we're also, you know, wondering how
we're doing what
with this, or who else feels or experiences the same kind of situation,
and whether we really
know, feel, think,
care,
act, love,
wonder,
in a way that will
make it
happy, satisfying,
good
situation,
helpful.
And so after a few days of
feeling lonely,
distant,
inside, in the house,
Jeff decided that
it was time to do something.
Okay, please continue.
Different.
Same.
So
different.
He put on his Santa Claus suit
and walked outside.
He wagged his tail.
He started to laugh.
And he went up to the first tree.
He sniffed it.
And found something incredibly interesting there.
And then his owner
said, come on. But Jeff.
Jeff came running and wagged his tail.
Ready to do anything he could possibly do to help his owner
feel happy.
And still sometimes
when he sees trees,
he wonders
if there's going to be something really special
nearby. So strange. So cute.
And all of a sudden,
Jeff forgot
what he was doing.
To think about
thinking.
Lecturing.
Oh. And he realized that forgetting to think wasn't
Such a bad idea after all.
Yes.
Then he remembered.
Or felt.
And forgot.
Then a big truck came.
Spilling lots of...
amazing delicacies. Consisting of the following pleasurable things.
And we started to talk about...
all the things that would make us feel not alone.
And I decided that chocolate would work best for me.
Chocolate's a good thing.
So Jeff gathered up
chocolate.
And then someone said,
"The end." They all lived happily ever after. And some of them not so happy. Some of them not so ever after.
It doesn't matter.
Some of them started living differently, and some of them continued and were in the middle of telling stories differently.
That was different. Talking about things that just make you happy and not alone.
What?
I'm changing on you here. Oh. Talking with people, or going for walks with people, walking people home.
Did you get that song, Don't Explain?
No, I didn't yet.
No?
No. I wanna download the new David Clayton Thomas song on Aurora, Don't Explain.
It's Billie Holiday, right?
Yeah, it's by Billie Holiday, yeah.
But you want
yeah.
David Clayton Thomas' version, or...?
Well, yeah, he just came out with a new album. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. I read the words, the lyrics last night.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's amazing. It's great.
What is it about?
It's don't explain. Don't explain. Just don't explain.
Just do.
The song is about a couple, lovers, and she says to him, "Don't explain."
I think I've heard it.
Yeah.
It sounds really familiar.
Yeah.
Is it on like it's on popular radio right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it?
I think it's in my office. The radio's on all the time, and I think
It's a new hit. Mm-hmm. It's a new, you know, Canadian content, rah-rah.
So it's a sequel to The Who's Can't Explain.
What?
The Who have a song, Can I Explain, or something like that.
Yeah,
so now they're saying, don't explain.
Well, it's a Billie Holiday song, yeah. So how are we?
Weird.
We're weird?
Yeah.
We're weird.
How so?
Well,
like, what do you mean by that?
We're experimenting with things, and I don't feel weird as being a negative thing. It's just, it feels like we're trying different things.
Uh-huh.
And in that sort of,
So do you think we're being weird, or we're feeling weird, or what we're doing is weird?
I think what we're doing is weird, and I think it's beautiful.
Oh.
And I've had somebody recently describe me as being beautifully weird, and that was sort of, it's that I could feel it was a plumber's pleasure in being described as that, and recognizing sort of a pleasant uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
Something that isn't like, I guess it would tie in with, when I hear weird, it feels as if it's not a lockdown identity. It's something else
that could become something.
Yeah,
that's new.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With a compliment.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So, are people still nervous? Are we still nervous?
I'm a little tiny bit nervous, but not in a bad way. I'm having a good time. I know I've heard lots of other shows, and sometimes they seem like they have a large flow of meaningful something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And but I feel good about just letting happen whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
How do you think we are?
Maybe a little nervous or anxious or not happy. I don't know.
I'm kind of nervous, but also in like an excited kind of way.
How do you think we are?
I think we're kind of flowing in and out of being. I think, how are we?
I'm not feeling nervous. That sense of anticipation, though, definitely is just waiting for the next moment of what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So you think we're experiencing this sense of anticipation?
I think it feels like we're reaching for this next moment.
Mm-hmm. So how does it feel? How do we feel about this reaching? How does it feel to reach for the next moment?
It's a little bit hard.
Yeah.
And a little frustrating. I'm trying to imagine if we were a group of people that came together at a workplace.
We are.
Mm-hmm. Right, no, but I mean, like there was a problem that we had to solve.
We do.
Okay.
Yes. You were saying if we were us. Yes, if we were us.
Then we would naturally have moments where we wouldn't know what was next.
Yes.
We'd be waiting for somebody to come up with an idea or bring us a spark that would lead to something next.
Can you imagine a working group mm-hmm. made up totally of prophets?
Prophets?
Prophets, you know, like biblical prophets.
Oh, prophets.
You know, like
and they knew exactly what was going to happen.
A working group of, like, fortune tellers, and they get together, and like, what does... What does their work look like? Well, we're not that group.
No.
We definitely have a moment here or there where we don't know what's going to come next. Yes.
The working prophets group.
That's pretty funny. I remember this image of like these famous Jeremiahs and they're just scratching their head going, I'm not getting anything about the next moment. Which just...
All these fortune tellers in a circle, you know. What do we want to do? What do you mean, what do we want to do? We know what we want to do. And we know what we're going to do. What are you asking stupid questions for? Just look in your damn crystal ball.
For my crystal ball,
no, but
they're different.
They're stuck because they know exactly what's going to happen. We're stuck because we have no clue what's going to happen.
I don't think we feel that stuck, actually.
I don't mean stuck in a negative
way. I think that we
just
felt stuck 20 seconds ago, but we don't anymore.
I had this conversation with a friend yesterday, and we were examining things in our lives, and moments where we felt like we're trying to control things, and other moments when we feel like a pinball, where we're just being batted around by the flippers, and just sort of I don't want to say appreciate.
Okay, don't finish it.
Okay,
let us take that idea.
Your life is a pinball.
Were we feeling like we were bouncing around?
We are bouncing around. It's, I guess, when we were talking about it, it was trying to talk about it without putting a necessarily negative or positive value, just sort of experiencing that sometimes life moves us around, sometimes we try to move life around, and trying to figure out what to do with all of that.
Well, do we feel in control of our conversation, or do we feel out of control in our conversation, or how do we feel, what's our relationship to control in this conversation? And what's our relationship to controlling this conversation, or mm-hmm. uncontrolling it?
Mm-hmm. It feels more like we're in a field, and someone has a ball, mm-hmm. and I'm going to throw it to Jeff, and he'll throw it to Arno, but depending on how Jeff throws it to Arno is how he catches it. So there's this weird combination of controlling and uncontrolling that could happen at any time, mm-hmm. and so sometimes we're waiting for who's going to throw the ball next, and
who's going to pick up the ball?
Sometimes the ball falls in the mud, and sometimes, clean it off.
And sometimes you can just pick your hand up and create a ball and throw it. Like we have balls like spontaneously mm-hmm. or
right,
you know, surprisingly just appearing out of thin air and being thrown. And balls mysteriously disappear, and they appear and they disappear. We make them appear. We're like magicians. Mm-hmm. We're like a group of magicians
at work.
We're like a group of magicians having a conversation about the future, not fortune tellers, not prophets.
I just caught something.
Yeah, it's hard to do that on air. For all you listeners out there, one of our hosts threw an imaginary object to another one of our hosts.
Right.
As if we haven't been doing that all along.
I mean, if we had one of those big questions that we got at the beginning, and we chose it to stick to it, there would be an aspect of a thread of control we set at the beginning that we would constantly try to return to.
Uh-huh. Until we decide not to.
Yeah, until we decide
not to. What did you say, Jeff?
Until we decide to do something else.
Ah. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what we were doing, but...
Yeah.
But you want to do that?
I'm just trying to make the difference between the kind of ball-throwing conversation we have and playing baseball, which says that there's a structure, and and so I'm just pointing out the difference between how our conversation would go if there was more control over it, or we set more control over it,
which we could do,
yeah. But we're saying there's some value in us, in some. Maybe beauty in us not having that, mm-hmm. and just seeing what will come next. And sometimes something will grow that we'll stick to for a while and be with, be in, and sometimes not. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling like there's, like I feel in this moment a lot in life that I don't know what's going to come next, mm-hmm. and getting comfortable with it somehow is okay. And I don't know.
She was just saying about feeling comfortable, and then she started feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah, but that's okay too. I don't know. I said that's okay. I don't know what's next.
Yeah, it's important to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's one way.
Being uncomfortable isn't so bad.
No.
What were you thinking, Sarna?
I'm thinking different things. Like, yes. I'm thinking about something totally... I don't know why I'm thinking about this article I read a while ago about how people look at each other on the street, how they make eye contact, and what they create by how they interact with each other on the street. And that's... You know, like, I'm just sort of, my head is there a little bit, outside, and,
It's a nice day to be outside.
Yeah.
Gorgeous day.
My head is half outside.
Do you smile at strangers?
Hmm?
When you're walking down the street?
Yeah, sometimes.
And was there anything else you were thinking about, or were you thinking?
I was thinking: are we repeating history with this group? Are we not repeating history with this radio show? What are we doing?
You know what?
What do we do after something's finished? Also, like how when something's finished, then we go and we think about it, and we say, we just repeated history.
You know, I just want to point something out to you, just in the language you just used. Are we repeating history is a very different question than does history repeat itself?
Mm-hmm.
When you ask the question, does history repeat itself, you leave out a critical component of history, which is we,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's you know, when people say history repeats itself, they're assigning that there's some kind of unseen hand that history has, and that history imposes this law that history shall repeat itself. Mm-hmm. Are we repeating ourselves? Well, we can repeat ourselves. Some of my favorite songs, you know, I can't get no. Some of my favorite songs are songs that repeat themselves a lot of times. So there's nothing wrong with us repeating ourselves. It's just a different question than, does history repeat itself?
Yeah.
Can we repeat the good bits and leave the other stuff behind?
So do you think that we're repeating ourselves and that's bad? I mean, it could be. It could be that we're just like doing some, you know, some hippie shit show where anything goes and these four freaks get together and, you know, like talk about nothing and never get anywhere and don't make any strong points. Maybe we're doing that. Do you think so?
Yes and no.
I mean, I the reason I say that is because I heard somebody characterize Let's Grow as a hippie show.
That's a compliment.
What's that?
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment? That's funny. I don't know if it was meant as a compliment or an insult, and I took it all kinds of different ways.
Sorry, I was just thinking about compliment. If somebody complains about something, you know, gives you, you know, a critical uncompliment, but it's something you're quite happy about, then is that a bad thing? You know, you're too tall. Well, actually, I like being tall. If you're happy with the characterization, what?
If we're happy and we're hippies, clap our hands. If we're happy and we're hippies, clap our hands. If we're happy and we're hippies, and we're really hippies. If we're happy and we're hippies, clap our hands. So do you think this is, are we?
Sorry, I can't laugh. I wasn't expecting you.
I don't think any of us are hippies, though. I mean, there's no such thing as hippies. Hippies was a phenomenon of 30 years ago. But so what do you think, Serna? What do you think of what we're doing?
It's great.
Can I get theoretical again?
No. You can try whatever you want. You can try whatever you want. But the one thing I want you to understand is anybody can do whatever they want, really. But one thing that we have here is we have a group of people. So yeah, sure.
Well, I was thinking of, different psychology streams have theorists like Adler or Freud saying, you know, man, a.k.a. people's will to power or will to meaning, like what's our primary motivation in life that underdrives everything we do. And this whole question we're having about whether what we're doing is hippie-ish and kind of random and meaningless, or should we be doing something more meaningful, or maybe we don't have enough power or control in here, or like, I want to ask everybody, do we think that most of what we do has to have some meaning, or then we feel lost?
Well, you know, can I answer?
I want to say something. Go ahead.
Well, You were using meaning and purpose almost interchangeably, and I don't think they're the same thing. But, I mean, when you were asking, do we have an overriding purpose in life, I was thinking sort of half tongue-in-cheek, yes, it's to grow our radio show. Yes, yes, we have an overriding purpose, like right now, which is to grow our radio show. Do we have, is there a meaning? I don't know what a meaning means. I'm much more comfortable with the sort of the concept of purpose or task. I know that the word meaning is sometimes used in the word purpose is sometimes used in a religious or spiritual sense, my ultimate purpose. But I like using the word purpose in the sense of task. So we have an ultimate purpose here. It's to grow our conversation. What were you thinking, Serna, or what do you want to say?
I was thinking, when you said that about the purpose, and you know, sometimes I worry about it. I worry about, like, is this good enough, what I'm doing? Like, is it good enough? Is it a, like, how do I know it's good if I don't have some sort of yardstick to measure it with, you know, some Adler dude or some other. Like, I worry about how do I know that it's good enough? And then I was thinking about something that I just, like,
heard. It's a great question. How do we live in a world without truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I was thinking about
absolute knowing that it's good enough.
Yeah, and I have it's unsettling. Sometimes I feel like there's something off or not so right with me, because I don't have a sense of, like, this is right and I'm doing the right thing and I know that my life is purposeful and meaningful, and it sort of worries me a bit. And I was thinking about the last radio show, and you were asking some of these same big questions, and
you meaning
Arno, you.
Oh, we need to use names if
and
we're
asking Arno,
questions
you were
to
asking
individual people in here, mm-hmm. because our listeners don't know who we're asking the questions we're referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You were asking some of the big questions, and some of the big questions you sort of seem to, like, you and Jody seem to have some, or Jody seemed to have some answers to, like, and she said something about people, there are people who are not so concerned with the truth. People who are not so concerned with what the truth is or with being honest, and that there is a spectrum or of people, and that it goes from sort of people who are compulsive liars to people who are so truthful that they end up hurting each other. And I don't know where all that whole conversation was going, but it sort of stuck in my head. I listened to the beginning of the show yesterday, because I sometimes, like, I feel like I don't, am I concerned with the truth? Am I honest enough? How do I know if I'm in touch with the truth? And it gives me some, causes some anxiety.
Yeah, and let me ask you: are we concerned with whether we're concerned with the truth now on this show, Jeff? Are we concerned about our relationship to truth now?
Sure. My answer is I'm not concerned about it, because it's, I think, by default, it's what we're aiming, at least what we're exploring. So,
And another good. I mean, and what, and Serna, the earlier part of your question was, like, is it good, and how do I you know, relate to, you know, my evaluation? I'd like us to collectively try to evaluate: is what we're doing good?
Mm-hmm.
Is this show good? Are we doing something good now?
I'm going to say yes. We are doing something good.
How do you know?
Good for the universe or good for us? I mean, I'm enjoying looking at everybody and hearing what everyone has to say. I'm enjoying the contact I'm getting with everyone here, and even sharing the sometimes struggle to say something. There's something, uh-huh. something meaning. I'm going to say the word meaningful, because when you say something about asking about truth, am I concerned, are we concerned with truth, I still go back to meaning. And I like the feeling that I walk out of here after having this conversation going, yeah, we achieved something, whatever that was. And then I'm going, what do you mean achieved something? And so I can say, yes, there were useful, good things that I achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying, Serna, you know, what do you do when you are not sure whether you're doing something meaningful? Do you ask just yourself, or do you go
mm-hmm.
to ask a friend and say, "This is what I'm doing. What do you think of it?"
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you just think about it, which is not the most productive. But I can also, like, I like that you brought it up, because I think I was sort of concerned about what are we doing. And
no, you were concerned, is what we're doing good?
Yes, is what we're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good question. Does anybody want to call us up, 416-532-4769, and tell us if what we're doing is good or not? We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Is there some universal yardstick about what's supposed to be a good conversation between four people on the radio?
Well, there are some assumptions. Mm-hmm. There are some assumptions, like you said earlier, Marla. You know, I think we're supposed to tell a story, and there should be a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you know, there are people who might say, according to the accepted yardsticks, housed in controlled environments at Oxford University, Greenwich Mean Time, and 75 points north of the equator, this conversation's an abject failure because it has no beginning, middle, or end. And it has no plot, theme, and the characters are poorly developed.
I mean, we would say that if we were watching a movie sometimes, and we said, I don't really get what's going on, and I don't know why that character is doing that, and mm-hmm. this is a waste of my time.
But you can't really step into the movie.
No, you can't change it.
Oh, you can't step into
the movie. You can't change the movie.
What?
You can't step in the movie. On the other hand, that we're doing what... We are doing what people do and what happens. I mean, it's what we're doing, and so it's real, and we're exploring being real with each other, and that I feel is a good thing.
I love that. Let's explore being fake with each other. That's really helpful, Jeff. Let's be fake with each other.
Let's be fake with each other.
Yeah,
we'll play the contrast.
Let's now do the fake. Let's grow. The fake Let's Grow is now beginning.
Oh, boy.
We are now performing the fake Let's Grow, and we're going to be fake with each other, and we're going to fake telling a story, and we're going to fake having a conversation. And it's all going to be a fake.
The beginning, the middle, the end,
the plot, the characters. What did you say?
Who's going to do the dishes today?
I've been wondering about that. Who is going to do the dishes today?
Who cares about the dishes?
By the way, to all of our listeners, this is a station identification announcement. Everything you just heard is fake. And everything you're about to hear is fake. We are now doing the fake show.
I don't want to do the dishes. I want to go see a movie today at 2 o'clock. Somebody else has to do the dishes.
Well, are you going to be going to see a movie in that purple hair you're wearing?
Oh. No, I'll change it to green.
Why would I care what you're doing?
I want you to help me. I want to go see a movie.
How come nobody's talking?
How come no one's talking?
That's my problem.
Yeah.
We are.
How come nobody just asked me anything?
We don't want your opinion.
I think I have to get up and leave. I have to go. I got some tofu I'm making in the kitchen.
I wonder when my guests are going to come.
Who cares? It's not relevant.
Well,
we were being real with each other.
We were being real. It's very difficult
it's
to be fake.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
But you know what? You'd be surprised how many people come into my therapy office and say, I feel like a fake. So you might say it's very difficult to be fake, but people have a very easy time feeling fake.
But I have to tell you something. When you said let's be fake, I almost felt relieved. I felt like, oh, great, I don't have to try to be real. So I'm going to say what I really think.
And that's, I think, part of the secret, at least for me when I'm playing, when I think about playing, trying to play well, that gets in the way of playing. When I just play, that's a lot more natural feeling.
So that's what you're saying is more real?
Is just, it's just being it. I don't know. I don't get back to that being it. I mean,
Jeff, be a little more fake, please.
Let's just continue with this fake thing.
That's so weird.
Oh, we have a caller, maybe.
That's so exciting.
I'm not going to answer it.
No, it's not a caller?
No. I want a caller. I want a caller that their name shows up on the...
Actually, maybe okay, it could be long... Like,
hello? Oh, I missed it anyway. Oh,
well. It could be long distance. I mean, some long distance things don't really show up.
Oh, yeah? Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that was terrible. Okay. Well, I'll listen to who it was. And
that
if
was
I want
really it. Fake. Radio show that doesn't answer its caller.
It says it's going to and doesn't
do
it.
Or just tell the caller that we'll try again and we'll pick it up.
We'll see if they left a message.
It's probably the Toronto Star trying to sell you a Saturday subscription.
They don't leave messages.
Okay. I left a message earlier telling you I was on my way. Okay.
Keep talking, everyone.
All right, caller.
I'm listening to fake callers.
So try again, and we'll
they didn't leave a message.
Okay. If you wish to call, please call again, and we will
try. If the caller was calling to join the radio show, please call again, 416-532-4769.
Yes.
And if the caller didn't wish to join the radio show, they're not going to hear this request right now. So let's be fake. Let's continue. I think it's a good...
That felt so weird.
I think it's... What felt weird?
Trying to be... Like, that... The fake thing, I felt funny.
Are you still being
Say
fake?
That fakely.
Well...
Fake saying that. Fake telling us how you felt being fake.
I like doing that. That was fun, just pretending it... This is... I'm enjoying what I'm doing.
Well, I
Can't
don't
you
know.
Tell?
I don't know why you're saying that, because this is really just a waste of time, and I'd rather be shopping in Yorkville.
I'm shopping in Yorkville. Ooh, these ladies' underwear are nice.
Give me those underwear. Those are mine.
But there's nobody here around me while I'm shopping. And I'm a mystery shopper.
Was that a bit fake?
It's like in your own world.
She was just asking me. Marla was just asking me, is that a bit fake? Like, she wanted a true authoritative evaluation of whether that was fake. I'll give you a fake authoritative true evaluation.
That was cute.
You know, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that either.
I was going to say something. But I decided not to either.
Well, I'm going to say something.
You already did.
No, I'm going to say it.
Okay, but were you going to say something? You big faker. You
faked
that you were going to
fake you out. There, I finally did something fake. Somebody did something fake.
Okay, I have an important announcement to make.
We're not.
I had no announcement to make.
Right. So, can we ever really be fake? When did you think you were being fake?
I think we were just being fake. No,
I'm totally 100% fake.
Are right? you
in this moment, at, sitting in this chair?
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? We're not being fake.
We're being really fake.
Are you judging
we're really
us to
being
be fake
fakes?
In a real way?
These people are faking. They're faking.
This is like so liberating. I think I'm gonna like go introduce myself to people and say, hi, I'm fake, how are you?
Invite people onto our show, onto our fake show.
Yeah
invite people onto our show to come fake with us. Yeah. Let's grow our fakery.
I think we have some already.
Yeah,
there are people on our show that aren't us.
Does anybody want to have like tea somewhere?
Like, is that, are you faking?
In the park?
Are you reeling?
Reeling.
See, one never knows, does one, whether one's faking or reeling, you know?
Right. That's a part of...
When you mean reeling, you mean like flirting?
No, well, anything. Anything. Like, you never know if someone's reeling or faking.
Oh, reeling. I thought reeling, like reeling someone in.
No,
inviting
real,
people for tea.
You never
like,
know if someone's
on,
being real or being fake.
Right.
You never know. It's like it's
the truth of the lies, you know.
And we never know if we're being real or if we're being fake. It's critically, you know, it's frustrating.
Well, this whole thing and the type of counseling that you do has performance as a is performance fake or real? Are we always performing something in a way?
Well, I think we are. I think that's while we're doing stuff, we're performing. Whether it's talking or laughing or lying, it's the act that we're doing. So we're always in a performance state.
But it's mostly real, not fake.
Is it real performance? What do you mean? We just gave fake performances. And as far as I'm concerned, we still are.
Well, I was trying to be real.
I was trying.
But when you say a real performance versus a fake performance, what do you mean?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Do we decide? Like sometimes I you know, I'm going to a party and I want to. I'm feeling really lousy, but I want to fake or pretend that I'm actually having a good time. Then I'll sort of develop in my head some way of being that is not really how I'm feeling, but it's, but maybe it's my intention that's real, right. And that's to give pleasure to other people,
right.
Even though I'm not feeling that way.
Is really how you're feeling real?
Yeah.
When you said no, she wasn't saying yes. Yeah, I like that question. Yeah. I sort of fake my performance. And I don't perform really how I'm feeling. So I was asking you, is really how you're feeling really real?
At the time, I'd probably perceive it that way, yeah. As a real feeling of feeling depressed or sad or disconnected.
Mm-hmm. Disconnected. Well, I'm just wondering, like, if I use a practical experience, dress rehearsals are pretend performances. You're practicing or preparing for the performance, and so on one level it's a fake performance, but when you do the dress rehearsal you're performing, you are performing, and so that fake performance is a performance and is as real.
Mm-hmm. So Marla, you were saying that your emotions are real, you know, but what makes them real? How do you know that your emotions aren't fake? And even, you know, even if you argue, well, they feel real, how do you know that that's not what fake feels like?
I guess I don't. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I guess there's an assumption that when something bubbles up inside the self and pervades our sense of the moment, that somehow there's something real about it. But,
there's a lot of assumptions about reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do people think it's valuable to question or not take for granted that our feelings are real?
Well, it's actually one of the questions that that I had on our thing. Yeah. Should we challenge authority or should we respect authority? Because really, real is authority, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Real is authority. And should we accept, should we respect real, or should we challenge real?
This is what reality is.
And you're saying ourselves can be our authority. Our emotions are...
I didn't say anything like that. I just said, should we respect real, or should we challenge real?
We do sort of challenge real.
We are now.
We are certainly. But you also do sometimes unintentionally challenge the real, and oh look, something else happens, but we can then say, oh no, but I was really depressed before the party, so I still feel depressed. Do you know what I mean?
We can go back to old performances.
We can
definitely.
Go back. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Like my mom is amazing at. Somehow challenging what I think is real, and sometimes she'll just say something and I'll feel a certain way, but then I'll think, oh, that's not real, because really I feel this about that. like I Yeah, like I called my mom yesterday and they went up north and they're, and it was just like, you know, I called and I wasn't in the best of moods. And my mom picked up the phone and she said, she was so cute. She said she was so prepared for somebody she didn't know to call. And then it was suddenly me, her daughter, calling her from Toronto. And they're up at this cottage at some other people's place. She gave me the phone number and she was absolutely not expecting that it would be me who called. And then she just was sort of like so bubbly and happy and funny about it that it completely changed where I was at. But I was like, no.
I don't want to be where I was at.
How dare you interfere with my miserableness?
She brought you into a fake place. She moved you from reality to fake. No, I want to go back to reality. I was feeling real before. Now this is all phony.
So did you? But it was lovely. It was lovely. Mm. So you know, so then we talked and said things and it was a great conversation and
sweet. Both of those made me think of things happened with me with music. I've had this on and on where I was with one group. They used to make a lot of really happy music and people would sexy say, you know, well, your music's kind of too happy. Is that real? It's the same kind of like somehow if you write a sad song or an angst ridden or depressing song that expressing those sentiments from a lot of people are more real than sort of saying, hey, I like hanging out with my friends or the joy of meeting somebody special.
This has been the Real Fake Show. This has been Let's Grow. March 21? What's the real date today?
The
26th.
The 26th? Uh-huh. This has been the Real Fake Let's Grow, March 26th, and we're going to sign off. Uh-huh. This has been Serna and Marla and Jeff and Arno. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, world. Thank you, Baghdad and Jericho. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.